All right, what's up, guys? It is Monday, April 8th, 2024, MAOB Daily Podcast. I'm your host, as always, Adam Martin. Joined by my co-host here, Mr. Big Marcel, and we're going to be recapping UFC Vegas 90, talk a little bit about that PFL card, which wasn't that great. We'll briefly touch on that. And then the next podcast, not even in an hour from now, probably a little bit less than that, we'll be breaking down UFC 300. I can't wait for that, Marcel. I'm looking forward to that. But before that, the UFC Vegas 90 recap. Marcel's just like got the stone. He looks like Fedor right now. Stone face. What's going on, man?
Everything is good, man. Looking forward to talk to you about this fights from last week, and obviously next week's UFC 300. And the
you
next
kind of look like you kind of look like Johnny Walker's brother Walter a little bit with that beard. You kind of look like him a little bit, eh? What do you think?
That's yeah, but yeah, oh yeah, definitely. Yeah, yeah.
Marcel lost a bet on this guy, and nice way he shaved his goatee like that, but let's just get into it, Marcel. We'll get some comments first, and then we'll get into the recap. Joe, what's up, brother? Always glad to have you here. Glenn, you were second today, man, but glad to have you here as always. Michael, what's up, man? UFC 300? Who's complaining about UFC 300? I don't understand that at all. It's literally the best card they've ever put on from top to bottom. It is the best card, like, ever. It might not play out that way. It might not be great. I mean, we'll see, but, like, on paper, it's amazing. Like, there's no doubt, right? So... But again, we're going to start with the UFC Vegas 90 recap. Interesting card, right, Marcel? We had, you know, quite a few upsets on this card, actually. I predicted at least one of them. I think you predicted a couple, too. So we did okay in that respect. I mean, I don't really think a lot of people did great in this card from what I saw. It was kind of a tricky card. You had four people miss weight, although two of them looks like it was a catch weight anyways. But UFC is still calling it a bantamweight bout on their website, by the way. I don't know what happened there, but... Yeah, but we had at least, you know, a couple other fighters this week. We've lost a fight on fight day as well, so it was a fucking shit show on the weigh-in day, Marcel. Anything you want to say about that quickly before we actually talk about the fights? Because the weigh-ins were fun.
I mean, what was really funny was that the first girl on the scales, Norma Dumont, made weight, and everybody was like, oh, she got to make weight, and she made the weight, so that the props to her, right? And four people missed weight, and the one worse than the other, you know, but
for sure. We got signed collectibles in the chat as well. Glad to have you here, man. All right, let's get into the recap. Okay, we'll start with the main event, work our way down. As always, main event, Brendan Allen defeats Chris Curtis via split decision. Very close fight here in the main event. Great fight. Would you have given it fight of the night before I get into the fight? Do you think it was fight of the night?
No.
Well, you think they got it right, the award?
Yeah, okay. I agree with fight of the night. I know many people didn't.
Yeah, no, I thought this was the best fight in the card. I thought it was a really,
it was a
really
great fight.
Really good fight, and... It was just a greedy fucking war. I mean, these guys went to battle for 25 minutes. Like, it was one of those fights, Marcel. Honestly, I think it came down to the last exchange, which is crazy. Like, it was that close.
It was.
You know, it was super close. Did you also have it 2-2 heading into round five? So you had the same as me. And did you have Brendan Allen winning the fight, or did you have Chris Curtis?
I think Brendan Allen literally stole the fight in the last 15, 20 seconds. Yeah.
Me too. And Man, it's tough to like score fights that way because you'd like to think that there was more that happened during the round, but I really think it came down to that. It was on the table in the last 10 seconds. Mm-hmm. And then Curtis, I don't know, I feel bad for this dude. Like, he had potentially a win in the bag and then got injured, you know, and then obviously almost, you know, the optics are that look bad. He almost gets finished and then Allen steals it. You know, Chris is on Twitter. He's upset about the decision, but I think the Chargers got it right. But it was close. If they went with Curtis, I wouldn't have complained. We're gonna say
same. I had to laugh when they were done, and Brendan Allen wanted to have that moment with Chris Curtis, where he's sitting next to him and put the arm on. And then the ref was like, go away," because Chris was injured, and Brendan didn't know at that moment that it was that bad, you know. So it was kind of comical, but it sucks for Curtis, man. I mean, I hope. He has a full and speedy recovery, of course, man. He's a good dude. Yeah. Interviewed him last week. Also interviewed Brendan Allen. Interviewed both. I like both guys, honestly, you know. And I think it was a close fight. Yeah. Good fight.
No, I agree. Just fixing my background here. There we go. All right. We got True in the chat. What's up, brother? Kurt outstruck him wide in the fifth. Did he? I mean, I don't think so, man. I kind of disagree. I think it was super close. I mean, he definitely had moments. Let me check the stats. He did have more strikes landed, so you're not wrong about that, according to the stats he did. But all three judges did have it for Brendan Allen. I think just the optics of him getting hurt, I think that's what did it for him, Marcel. Because up to that point, I was thinking, like, man, Curtis is probably going to win, and then it just looked really bad. I don't know. What were you going to say? Sorry?
One judge scored for Curtis, two out of for Allen.
For the fifth round?
No, I mean it was a split decision.
Yeah, but the fifth round, all three of them had it.
Sorry.
Brandon Allen. That's okay. But I'm just saying it came down to the fifth because looking at the judges' scorecards, Michael Bell had a 3-1 Curtis heading into round five. Derek Cleary had a 2-2 like I did. And then Eric Colon had a 3-1 Allen. Eric Colon had a 49-46 Allen.
Yeah.
I don't really agree with that, but at the same time, the rounds were pretty close. So it's one of those things. Again, if Curtis had won, I don't think it would have been a bad decision at all. You know, it was just a really close fight. Someone has to win. Someone has to lose. They can't really go 10-10. So anyways, it was a great fight. What do they do next for Brandon Allen? Who's he going to fight?
Man, I make that rematch with Sean Strickland, you know, for the simple reason that they probably going to do Dricus Adesanya. I still think Adesanya shouldn't fight for a title next, but they're going to do it. Who else, you know? Allen. I mean, if you do Allen Strickland, you have the next contender who wins that fight. You know, you got Chimaev against Whitaker. Chimaev probably gets a title shot if he beats Whitaker. And Cannonier is somewhere. Yeah, for Cannonier, it kind of sucks, man. He's somewhere, nowhere. He probably has to fight Paulo Costa, I think. So.
Yeah, no, he's Cannonier's a beast, but you know, he's the guy that beat Sean Strickland, destroyed Marvin Vittori, and now no one's talking about him. He's a little bit older, too. He only had one shot at the belt against pretty much Adesanya in his prime, lost. I don't know. I mean, he probably loses a rematch to him, too, but I don't know. I think, and I'm just getting back to the comments, Blake, I kind of like this fight, too, the Allen Strickland rematch. I don't mind it, Marcel.
Me neither.
I don't really care about the Vittori fight too much, to be honest. I think Vittori kind of lost his shot. I know he's ranked higher, but
it doesn't do anything for both of them, I think, you know?
So. You know, Brandon Allen, man, he's got a great record. He's okay, 7-fight win streak, first off, 12-2 in the UFC, Marcel. Very good record. 12-2. It's a great record. Yeah.
And I also always feel like I'm one of the few guys who actually like Brandon Allen. I see always a lot of shit talk about him on the socials and stuff. He's a good dude, man, and he's a hard worker. And he got it done. You know, it was difficult, but he got it done. You know, avenged the first loss against Chris.
Yeah.
And let him avenge the only other loss in the UFC career against Sean Strickland. Let him try to avenge that, you know?
That was a catchweight bout, too, and there was, like, short notice, I think. I think Strickland took it on short notice, but it was kind of a weird situation, too. So, I mean, they could do it again. But, yeah, I think Brandon Allen's a really good fighter. Get some other comments. Marcus, what's up, man? He said he had Curtis winning the optics round five. Yeah, it's true. Optics. I mean, I'm sure Eric Nixick's talking about that with his fighters this week or whenever they're going back to the gym because, I mean, Strickland and Duplessis was kind of the same thing, Marcel. To be honest, they were kind of like very similar fights. I mean, less grappling, obviously, in that fight, but the fact that they were that close, they both came down to the wire, you know? And I prefer fight. I mean, they're not easy to score and you don't know who's going to win when it goes to the scorecards, but Marcel, I prefer fights like this. They're like, super, super competitive. Like, I mean, I think who doesn't, right? So that's where comments got. Glenn Bott in the chat. What's up, man? Antoine, what's up, man? Glad to have you here, Antoine. Ray, what's up, lads? Who'd you have Allen fight next? Yeah, I think Strickland or I guess Cannonier too. I mean, that would be okay. I don't mind that. Although I think
I really like the Strickland fight, man.
Yeah, I know they're like okay, like they're cool now. Like, I think Brandon's cool with those guys now. Him and Curtis had fought twice, but Strickland had talked a lot of they both talked a lot of shit about each other. Let's be honest. What I heard, they met up at the PI and were like chill about it. So
we got to talk about one moment in the fight where Curtis hit Allen and that wasn't an eye poke, you know, or maybe it was when he pulled back, it wasn't seeable, and the referee called it as like stop. So Allen got 25 seconds or something, and then he was like, no, there's nothing there. Go on. Was a really weird moment, actually.
It was weird, you know, because I don't know, on the replay, the punch landed, but then on the way down, it looked like that's what I thought. So I'm like, okay, I think he did touch him in the eye.
Yeah.
I'll be honest, Marcel, it's a weird situation because last week they had all those eye pokes that were missed. I think the refs saw those fights and they were like, okay, we don't want to do that and then cost the guy the fight. And I'm glad they just like were like, all right, let's just get back to the fight, you know. It was a weird situation. But at the same time, what do they do? Could they call that a TKO? If it's somewhere else, do they call that a TKO and say, hey, you stop fighting? Like, I don't know. It's weird, right?
Yeah.
No idea. I will say this. I prefer when the fights are in Nevada, in Vegas, because, you know, Marcel, I know you're some of the refs you don't like Tyone and stuff. But, like, honestly, Marcel, at least they have, like, replay and they can get this stuff right and they look at it again. And there's people on the outside of the cage.
Who do you not like, you said?
Tyone.
Oh, yeah. Fuck him. Yeah, I'm sorry.
West Coast was up, man. Damage, Trump's doing nothing on the ground. You're talking about Allen Curtis or another fight? Because there's a lot of fights in this card that were like damage control. or saw like a lot of the fights were damage versus control. Joe Ed Allen 1-4-5. Yeah, that's what I had. I had the same thing. Curtis complains more than my wife complains constantly. Oh man. Hopefully your wife's not watching the live chat today. Although hi to her. Alan Costa. Yeah, that's fine too. Costa is a beast too. So if Alan ends up fighting Whitaker, he fought two different sets of training partners when he fought. That's interesting actually. Because he beat Malcoon, obviously. Alan overinflate you, it bothers me. Yeah, I mean, but again, when you're at the you have to be kind of like that, true. When you're in this sport at that level these guys are at.
Actually, I found it funny that Alan said in an interview, I don't know if you see that, he said, after the Malcoon fight, I've switched so much up, he said, and he's like, I got lucky in that fight. So
he did. I thought he lost that fight. Which is
But that's honest of it, you know?
Yeah, I know. And Jacob Malcoon is an underrated fighter. I mean, he's not the most exciting guy. He did get a knockout in his last fight, but he's a good fighter. Why did Curtis let the Alan back up multiple times? I completely agree with this, too. The fight IQ is a little, it was a little odd. I mean, I guess he didn't want to get triangled, but like that doesn't really happen too often to get swept. I mean, it could have happened. You know, Curtis is a good fighter, man. You know, it's crazy. Like, this guy's headlining cards enough. A few years ago, we were fucking on this podcast. We're like, why is this guy not in the UFC? You know, he had that crazy knockout on Contender Series, and Damian's like, yeah, but he's too old. You know, we're going to pass on him. Like, what? First off, why did they even have him on the show?
It's right? Probably because they want the other guy to win, you know? That's probably why.
When they fought him? Yeah, probably. I think it was like Sean Lally.
Sean Lally, yeah.
That guy, what is happening to him? He's a nobody. Chris Curtis is a legitimate top 15 guy middleweight. I do think Chris is kind of like a gatekeeper, but he's like one of those high-level gatekeepers, right? Like, do you think he's a gatekeeper to the top 15? Is that what you mean?
He looked actually better than
yeah, I know. He looked really good in this fight, man. Really I thought good. He looked really good.
He's fine. I was talking to him, and I told him, like, dude, I have to be neutral, but for years I was so pissed that you didn't get signed after that. And he's like, dude, I was pissed as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, and then he went to PFL. He had that, that you know, all those tournament fights there in PFL. Listen, he's a double guy that retirement. Has, like, 55. Yeah, I know. The fake we're not fake. Chris is a very emotional guy. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
I think that's the kind of guy he is. And you know, I think he used it to his advantage to get to where he is in his career. But at the same time, it kind of comes back to haunt him sometimes. Anyways, it was a great fight. I really liked this fight. All right. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let me ask you this. If it was full camp, do you think he would have won with a full camp?
Difficult, man, because I talked to Brandon Allen and I asked him about the short notice as well, you know, and Brandon said, like, I'm a guy who has really much difficulties with change, you know, so he probably trains for specific opponents and maybe Curtis does as well. I don't know, man. We probably will never know. Both fights were short notice, right?
I know. They could always do a trilogy down the line too.
Yeah, why not?
Right? Like, not now, but I'm just saying. The first two fights were good, so yeah. Mm-hmm. Blake, if one of the Contender Series guys beat Bo, they probably have a final lawsuit now, pretty much. All right, let's go to the next fight here. Damon Jackson with the brand new haircut goes and beats Alexander Hernandez. Split decision. I think the two judges was Junichiro Camijo and Derek Cleary. They both had it correct, 29-28. I'll get your thoughts in a sec. Brian Miner, who's, you know, been around forever, 30-27. Hernandez, I mean, that is a fucking joke. I mean, you got to be kidding me. That's a horrible, horrible scorecard. It's horrible. It's horrible. I know it was like a competitive fight, but come on. Damon Jackson won the first two rounds. He lost the third round. We'll talk about the weight miss in a sec, but how did you score? Come on, you had to have Jackson.
Bro, even Stevie Wonder saw that Hernandez didn't win that fight, you know?
No way.
I had the first and second round for Jackson. Third round, Hernandez started really well, knocked him down. But I think even Jackson did well in the third round after that, you know? But I gave it to Hernandez because of the damage.
Yeah.
2-1 for Jackson. It was an easy fight to score, in my opinion.
Very easy fight to score. And, you know, again, the fight IQ, like, he dropped him and then he kind of started grappling him. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, very odd. Very odd. Mm-hmm. We should talk about the weight miss, too. Came in at 150. I know, here's the thing, though. No one's talking about this, but he did go back on the scale and went to 147.5.
Yeah.
So that's a huge weight cut, to cut 2.5 pounds in an extra hour. That's crazy. I don't know what the fuck happened with his weight cut. He's not a featherweight, Marcel. He's just not a featherweight. He needs to go back to lightweight. He's lost 4 of his last 5 fights. Does the UFC give him one more chance? Do they give him one more fight? Because they obviously like the guy. Do they give him one more?
Yeah, but I would tell him to go to 150, back to 155. Yeah.
I agree. I think 155, send him back up there. I mean, he could, you know, he could beat guys in the UFC. I mean,
It's crazy, yeah. Actually. If you look at the Billy Quarantillo fight, he looked like a world beater in the first round, remember? And then he completely gassed out. And now, actually, he looked pretty good with his, in the third round with his gas tank.
Yeah.
You know? But
weird. I think he conserved his energy, obviously. But, it was a weird fight. He does have a couple. I was just looking at his record, and he still has that win over Darius. And he has a win over Jim Miller from last year. So. Yeah. It'd be weird to cut him, but again, you have to make weight.
I would
say give him one more. Give him one more.
Yeah, I would tell him if you stay at 145, done. You know, but if you go to 155, you get one more. Just go back to
fight. He could fight Trevor Peak. I mean, he beats Trevor.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He probably beats him too. You know, so maybe I don't actually. Maybe not. Who knows? We'll see what they do with him. I give him one more, guys.
But who beats Peak? Right.
Yeah, I mean, there's your answer. Antoine, Joe, horrible indeed. The judging, oh, yeah, it's bad. What's up, Grateful Dude? Tough night for judging. It was interesting, that's for sure. All right, we'll go to the next fight here. Chepe Mariscal defeats Morgan Charrier. Split decision. I had Morgan winning the first two rounds. It was competitive, though, for sure. The live odds, I was looking at the live odds at the end of the fight. It was like minus 4,000, Morgan.
I saw that.
That's crazy. I mean, that was too high, you know? He should have been favored. It looked like he was going to win. And then you had one judge, I think it was Adley Bird, 30-27, which is crazy because Chepe clearly won the third round. Yeah, I think it came down to the first round, you know, and I had Morgan winning, but it was super close. And I'm looking at the stats, and Chepe apparently outstruck him. So I don't think this was a robbery. I know a lot of people said that. Who'd you score for? Who'd you have for?
I had the first round for Chepe, second round for Charrier, and third round was close in my opinion. But I think Chepe won it. Because of the last 30-40 seconds where we hammer fisted him to the face. The thing is, like, the 30-27 from Adelaide Bird, what a shit card. But at the same time, I feel like it was a very competitive fight, man. And like you say, Chepe Mariscal, he fights for your money, and he does. You know, that's what you always say. So, I thought it was a close. Listen, man, if they gave it to Charrier, you wouldn't have heard me at all. I thought it was a close fight, but I think it wasn't a robbery, in my opinion.
Yep. No, I completely agree. He's won three straight fights as an underdog in the UFC, Chepe. He's a dog, dude. He's a fucking dog. I really like watching him fight, Marcel. He's just a gritty guy. He wants to fight on the Sphere card. I definitely think he deserves it, you know? He deserves it. Mm-hmm. I first heard of this guy when I watched Ultimate Fighter 2 years ago because his girlfriend, Claire Guthrie, was trying to make it to the UFC. That's when I caught, because I knew I had heard of him. I think he was in LFA before. You know, I don't really watch a lot of LFA, to be honest, here and there. But I heard of the guy, and then, you know, I was like, okay, who's this guy? And then he comes to the UFC, and he's just really exceeding my expectations. He's a good fighter. I think Morgan's pretty good, too. I don't think his stock really dropped here. Do you?
No. But also, Mariscal pretty much loses to guys on his record are not bad losses. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's that guy from the regional scene who actually fought good opposition. You know, so, I don't think it drops. Because many people thought Charrier won, you know, so it won't drop him too much. But I think it was close, could have gone both ways, you know. And it was actually a fight that I expected to be that entertaining. So, yeah, it was a good fight.
It was a good fight. Next up, we had Ignacio Bahamondes destroying Christos Giagos. I think Giagos is getting cut from the UFC, Marcel.
Very likely, yeah.
I mean, because I'm looking at his record, and, like, he gets finished almost every single time. Anyways, Ignacio looked amazing again. I've liked this guy ever since I saw him on Contender. He's had a few hiccups here and there in the UFC, but at his best, he is one of the most exciting young fighters at lightweight. He wants to fight in the Sphere. He called out Charlie Campbell. I think that's a great fight. And Charlie Campbell, we'll talk about that quickly too. I mean, he won his fight against Trevor Peak. That was a good fight too. I think that could have been fight of the night too, personally. I think that was a really fucking good fight. But yeah, I think the fight makes sense. You like that too, eh? Ignacio and Charlie Campbell.
Charlie, Rira Rusan. Did you hear that?
No, I didn't hear it, but he's a funny dude, the cannibal, right?
Yeah, Peak said that too, and when he walked to the cage.
But I like that fight, and I think, you know, this again, put it in the Sphere. I think because Ignacio wants to fight in that card, and I know he's not Mexican, but, you know, he is Latina.
Latina.
No, I think put that fight in that card. I think that could open the card. You know, I think that'd be a great fucking good fight.
Here, listen.
I heard it. Anyways, he looked great. Charlie looked pretty good too. Trevor Peak's a dog too. Another guy that Actually, it's funny that Chepe and Trevor are both on this card because they obviously fought each other, what was it, last year when they made their debuts. I like Trevor Peak too, man. He just got a new contract, right? He got a 4-5 deal. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. And that should have also been the fight of the night, by the way, the Peak against the Mariscal fight, you know?
Dude, that fight, I don't know. How did that not win? What was fight of the night, that card? Oh, maybe it was Evan Topuria? Wow.
Yeah, that was a one-sided beat, though.
That should have been performance bonus for Topuria. That's crazy. That was clearly fight because that's a memorable fight. I mean, I remember that fight. It was just a fucking war. Anyways, Trevor Peak, I think we're both happy he got a new contract as well.
Yeah.
Crazy 300, no press personalities. We'll talk about that in a sec, Blake. We're going to...
There will be 26 athletes will be all in the, how do you say it, in the presser, huh?
Yeah, I saw that. We'll see if someone talks shit or like does something crazy. All right, getting back to the card. Alex Morono defeats Court McGee, unanimous decision. Yeah, I think he won. I think it was 1-1 heading the third, and he won the third round. It was a close fight, though. It's closer than I thought. Like going into it, I'm like, oh, I'm pretty sure Morono like probably knocks McGee out. Court McGee's still like, I know he's lost 3 straight fights, but he's still like a pretty tough guy, man.
He did better than I expected, pretty much. You know, I think it was 1-1 going into the third round, so Morono pulled out. But I mean, this was like the three follow-up fights that kind of bored me out the last 3 prelims. A win for Morono, and that's what we expected pretty much, you know.
Yeah, I agree. You give Court McGee one more fight? Give
him another fight? Why not if he wants?
Yeah. He's not a legend, but he's kind of like a guy that's a really respected veteran. You know what I mean?
Call him a mainstay.
Yeah. I agree with Joe too. Court, he's a very tough fight. I remember, obviously, the Ultimate Fighter, right?
He just signed a 4-5 deal, right?
Court did?
Yeah.
They can cut them after a loss, though. You know that. But I think he'll get one more. I mean, he's a guy they respect. I think everyone respects Court McGee, you know?
Sure.
Lucas Dreschke defeats Walter Walker. Yeah, decision. Fucking horrible fight. Fucking horrible fight. Why did you fight like that, Marcel? Why were you like just laying on top of the guy? You look like him right now with that whatever you have on your face.
Why do I use my brother's first name as my last name?
Honestly, bro, this fight was pretty bad, I think. I thought Dreschke won. I think the judges got it right. What do you think?
Yeah, I really didn't give a fuck. I think Dreschke won as well at 2-1, probably. It was like, you know what was really funny? I think Johnny Walker came after it on Twitter, and he was like, numbers don't lie, and he showed the numbers, and people were like, dude, you're pretty much implying that Dreschke won, you know, because the numbers are in his advantage.
Walter, he had the control time, but he didn't do anything with it.
He didn't do like, jack shit, yeah.
Yeah, I know. We know how they're scoring fights differently now, especially in Vegas. Yeah. You know, they're really telling them, hey, like, if a guy doesn't, like, if he's not going for ground and pound, if he's not going for a submission, he's not trying to advance or do something to finish the fight, don't score him points, you know? Dreschke had more strikes landed, and he did more damage. He deserved to get the win. He saved his job, I would say, right? I think so. You give him another – I mean, do you re-sign him to a new contract, Dreschke?
No.
You let him go too?
Yeah.
You don't like him, eh?
No, it's not that I don't like him, but listen, the Contender Series fight got overturned by no contest because he used something. Then he loses 3 fights in a row. I still think the Budai fight was kind of close and could have won that one. He loses 3 in a row, and now he barely gets by Walker. I don't think the UFC resigns him.
You think? It's funny. I heard him talking at the post-fight press conference. I didn't realize he spoke English. I was, like, shocked. I'm like, what the hell? Also, on UFC stats, they still call it a win, but I think it was a no contest.
Yeah.
They haven't changed that yet. That's interesting. They're like... Like, let's keep this guy here. Both guys probably aren't UFC caliber. Walter, by the way, do you consider that a fraud check?
Yeah. We both said that at the same time in the Discord by Jace. We both said that at the same time.
We talked about this a few weeks ago. Like, if you're like a hyped up prospect, you lose to a guy who's kind of not that good, you're getting fraud checked. And that's exactly what happened here. Yeah, Walker versus Gazi, winner of the cheeseburger. I want the cheeseburger.
The funny thing is that I said, like, this could be we said that after the second round, this could be a fraud check. And exactly at the same time, you said as well, this could be a fraud check.
It totally was. Yeah. By the way, Marcel with the quick turn up, just stringing together all those takedowns. I know, but he looks exactly like him this morning. So, or this afternoon, I should say. It's Abus and Sean a fraud check. Ooh, it's tough because.
Sean became a champion, right?
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think Abus is that good, though. Who's Abus fighting next? What's his next fight?
Vardy.
Alves. Yeah, they're giving him a layup then. So they want him to win, I guess, to get back on track. Is that in Saudi Arabia?
No, it's in the Apex, I think.
What the hell? That's so weird. I thought they would do it in Saudi Arabia or in Abu Dhabi.
Ikram against Muniz is also in the Apex, so
yeah. That's surprising. I saw that today. Yeah, Craig, what's up, brother? Glad to have you here, man. All right, getting back to the fights. Norma Dumont defeats Jermaine Durandamy. Decision. Yeah, I think judges got it right too. You know, but it's crazy because I'm looking at the stats. Okay, so I did score for Norma, and obviously we were pretty high in Jermaine coming to this fight. And she won the second round, you know, and I'm like, oh, she's definitely going to win the third round. But Norma just laid on top of her. Here's the thing. Norma only landed 11 strikes in the whole fight, you know, 11 significant strikes. Zero in the first round, eight in the second, three in the third. Jermaine landed 16. It wasn't that many more, you know. Total strikes, Jermaine was 91 to 49, so a lot more. But again, when it's a 16 to 11 and you have a 10 minutes of control time of two, I can see why the judges went with that fighter. And it was frustrating to watch, man, because I just don't think this girl's like that great, you know. I was happy to see her make the weight. She looked on the scale. She's probably close to a title shot, but I mean, God, the Raquel Pennington versus Norma Dumont might be the most boring UFC title fight of all time. It might
they're
be.
They're not going to do that.
There's no way, right?
Nah, I mean, I was happy Norma didn't lose the DT on the scale when she made weight. But, I mean, yeah, got to be honest, man. I'm sorry. Got to be honest, man. Yeah, first and third round was for Norma, clearly. Jermaine just didn't do enough on the ground, you know. Couldn't get her offer for some reason. What I would do, listen, it depends on what Holm Harrison does, you know. If Harrison wins, I give Holm Dumont, you know. And if Holm wins, yeah, maybe against Harrison. But hey, the thing is, like, don't give Dana some ideas because he probably does Holm Dumont as a main event somewhere in the Apex. So
God, he probably will. I mean, that fight was supposed to happen, wasn't it, like 2 years ago?
I don't know. Actually, sure. Possible. I don't know.
I thought it was supposed to. I mean, I'll double check. But I mean, that sounds boring to you. I'm not gonna lie. Holm Dumont, every fight that she's in goes to the distance. It's just not. It's not too exciting. You know what I mean? But, you know, they were supposed to fight a couple years ago, and Aspen Ladd ended up fighting Dumont in, like, probably one of the worst main events of all time, Aspen Ladd versus Norma Dumont. That has to be one of the worst. Listen, like, I keep saying a lot of bad stuff about Norma. I mean, I there's things about her I like. I mean, she's, like, very marketable, I think, you know, but the style is not very exciting to watch.
She's a very nice person as well. I've talked to her before.
I know,
she's very
nice. It's just tough because I just find her very boring to watch, Marcel. Yeah, that's what happens, true. You know?
I agree.
But as a person and everything, and I think she looks good too, man. So, would you have Norma betting favor Julianna Pena or Myra Buena Silva? That's interesting.
I wouldn't. Not over Pena, probably.
Pena's such a wild card. I mean, she won the title. She's obviously very talented, but also she, you know, got subbed by Jermaine Durand.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy. So, like, how good is she really? I don't know. She might have just caught Amanda on, like, a really bad night for Amanda that fight.
Yeah.
And then with Myra, I don't know. I mean, Myra looks so bad, guys, in Toronto. I was at that fight, Marcel. She could not get off her back with Raquel. So can Norma just lay on top of her? Maybe. Norma's a big girl, right? She's probably one of the bigger bandwidths. Anyways,
she's I don't want to talk about this. Big anymore. Girl and a big, big world. It's not a big. Sorry.
That's okay. No, you're good. Victor Hugo defeats Pedro Falco. I like this fight too. I thought this was a pretty good fight, especially short notice. Yeah, like I thought it was a pretty good fight. The guy took it on like 3 days' notice, dude. I mean, what were you expecting?
Nothing against Falco, but I felt like Hugo made every mistake he could make. That's what I pretty much thought. He won the fight, but yeah.
You know, the only thing I'll say is, like, again, someone mentioned this at the post-fight presser too. Like, yeah, he had the full camp, but he was training for a different opponent. I mean, this guy is completely different. So, like, he had to change up his game plan on the fly. I thought it was a pretty good fight. I didn't hate the fight. I thought both guys are decent. I know, like, Falco got tired in the third round, but, you know, it's expected. Yeah, I mean, the bantamweight division is just really good. And clearly that guy should have been signed off contender. It's kind of crazy. He actually got a finish, and Dana didn't sign him. And I think on that same card was Budka on the same card as this guy on contender? Who? Budka.
I don't know. I think it was not last year, it was the year before, I think.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, sorry. It was 2020. Well, it was actually a couple years ago. My bad. There was Johnny Parsons won a split decision, and he got signed instead. Now, he's actually not bad, so I don't hate it, but this guy finished his fight, and Dana's like, nah, we're going to pass on this guy. Like, it was fucking bullshit. And actually, was Barrios won. That was the second fight he had when he finished that guy, that Jesse Marie guy. Anyways, I mean, I think this guy is definitely UFC caliber. All right, next fight, we had John Matsumoto defeat Daniel Argueta. Second round guillotine, 4:59 of round two. Holy shit. I mean, great fight, first off. I mean, the pace was insane. Daniel Argueta's wrestling was crazy good in this fight. 9 takedowns. He just kept taking down this kid, but he got tired, and then the guy just, man, he just locked up the guillotine. It was tough. I mean, 1 second left, you know, Dan's pissed off at himself. You know, Cubs not happy about it either when tapping, but at the same time, dude, he was probably going to fall asleep, you know? So
yeah, he was pretty much out of it. You know?
Yeah, but it was a good fight, right? What do you think of this kid, John Matsumoto? His record is 15-0 now? Yeah.
I think he's amazing last week, and you said as well, you know? The thing is, like, I said it also, the difference with this kid and some other fighters, he never accepted the position. You know what I mean? That Dan took him down. He never accepted to be Dan on him. He'd keep working, you know. In a certain moment, he was even the fighter who was on Dan, but then Dan turned it around again, yeah. And so on. So it was a really intriguing fight. And at a certain moment, he got the guillotine out of nowhere, pretty much. I think there was like 9 seconds to go. And Dan was out of it. He had to tap, or he was going to sleep. He was pretty much sleeping already, you know?
Yeah, he looked like he was about to. So yeah. It's just tough whenever they tap with the second left. You know what I mean? Yeah. It is tough, but I don't think it was the wrong thing.
It cost Ankalaev 2 years of his career. So, yeah.
It really did. It really fucking did. I think this kid's pretty good. Dan Argueta is 1-2-2 in the UFC. Do you give him another fight, though?
Yeah, because he got very bad luck, you know, against Ronnie Lawrence. I always say Ronnie Lawrence. It's Ronnie Lawrence.
he's not Brazilian, bro.
No, he got very bad luck against Ronnie Lawrence. The other fight with Miles Jones got overturned in a no contest. He lost that fight, but he got some bad luck. Yeah, I give him definitely another one.
And he fought Damon Jackson in his debut, and that's and it was up a weight class. I mean, this guy, he's had some tough fights in the UFC, man. They have not given him easy matchups. So yeah, I give him one more. Next up, Cesar Almeida. I called this one, Marcel. My dog.
You did.
Yeah, he knocks out Dylan Budka. Dylan Budka is a crotch sniffer, man. This guy's a terrible.
We had a
fighter.
Discussion about this in the Discord.
Bro, this guy shouldn't be in the UFC. He should be cut. I don't think this guy's good for the UFC. This is the kind of fighter they don't want in the UFC anymore. I was absolutely shocked when they signed him off Contender. I guess they did because he's like pretty young. He's 23 or whatever, 24. He's got a decent record, but my God, dude. I mean, this is who wants to watch this kind of fighting? He landed one significant strike in this fight. He had control time, 5 minutes of control time, but did not advance position, held the guy against the fence. Who was the ref in this fight? Was Mark Smith. I'm like, dude, come on, stand them up. Like, he was just, Marcel, it was like they were, Cesar Almeida was like against the fence with his butt in the ground, and this guy was just like holding him down. It was horrible to watch. But mm-hmm. I thought Cesar won. I know the judges gave it to Budka, I think, in the first round, but I thought Cesar won both rounds and then knocked him out. What'd you think, man? Give me your thoughts.
Yeah, we had a discussion about it. I think Budka won the first round. Wasn't beautiful to watch, definitely not. But I think the control time was better than the 12 strikes Almeida landed. Although I understand your point with, like, he didn't do dead jack shit with the control time, and really Almeida at least landed something, you know. So I understand where you're coming from, and that's why I said also in the Discord, like, thank God there was a finish here, you know what I mean? Yeah. Because we didn't need to see that anymore. And Almeida did smart, man. He pretty much defended until Patka was gassed, you know, and then he took him out, so he did well.
You got a bonus Almeida. Too, eh? I like that he got a bonus.
But I got to be honest. Yeah. I'm happy for Almeida. I got a bonus, but I think Matsumoto deserved it a little bit more.
I thought Mats. To be honest with you, I thought they were going to do 4 performance bonuses at the end. That's what I thought they would do. Mm. But because there was what 4 finishes, right? Yeah. I think we'll talk about this now. The Cornell Mullins fight was weird. So let's talk about this. So at the weigh-ins, they were the last 2 to weigh in. Mullins looked like absolute like death, like on the scale, looking like a zombie. Cornell looked amazing, and I was just like, "What the fuck's going on here?" Like, it was so weird. Later, it comes out that Mullins was really struggling with her weight cut. I mean, I don't know, Marcel, but it seemed like she had, maybe it was that time of the month possibly. I mean, women, that's the problem with the women's fighters. They have to deal with that. Men's fighters don't have to, you know what I mean? And we've heard a lot of fighters. I don't know, maybe something else, but it seemed like something was off, you know, because I don't think she's really struggled to make the weight before like this. Like, it was clear at the weigh-in she was struggling. She was a big favorite and lost, dude, and she got destroyed in the second round. First off, the first round, she was just kind of controlling. She wasn't doing any damage. I would give that round to Cornell. I think the judges were splitting that round. I would give it to Cornell. The second round, Mullins was absolutely gassed from the weight cut probably, and Cornell just destroyed her. We were talking about this too. Like, if it was an agreed-upon catch weight, she should have got a bonus, I think, right? What do you think?
Yeah, I agree, man. I mean, I think she said after the fight that Mullins struggled with the weight, and they said it's catch weight. It was also weird when the fight started that I think was it John Gooden was the or the in the booth. He said like both girls missed weight, so there were no fines. I was like, okay, that's the first time I hear that. You know, normally there you have to pay the commission something. But yeah, I mean, well done by Cornole, right? And I give Cornole the round of me next. You know, I think
that'd be a fun fight. I mean, she's we're both Muay Thai strikers, right? I think it'd be a fun fight.
Yeah.
You know what, man? Like, I'm not, because I picked her in her debut, so I think she's decent. But like, bro, this was a really good knockout. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's too bad that it happened. Like, no one was really watching this fight. Let's be honest. It was the first fight on a card that's not that great. We watched it though. I was really impressed, dude. It was a fucking nasty finish. Like,
it was a good start of the night.
Yeah, but again, if they agreed to the catch weight, then it's not a fight where she should have been ineligible for a bonus.
Yeah, I agree.
She should have probably got a bonus. Because, like, when do you see this kind of knockout from women's MMA? It doesn't really happen that often.
No, not often, true.
Right? So, and anyways, what do you think Mullins, though? Like, I mean, I guess they'll give her another fight, but, like, dude, I mean, this is a bad look for her, right?
Dude, she struggled, man. She struggled badly, and I didn't expect that, to be honest. Yeah, we'll see. Yeah, she definitely gets another fight. She's 1-1, so.
Yeah, for sure. All right, so overall, what would you give it out of 10, the card?
6.5, 7.
I think about that. Like, it was like an average, slightly above average card, maybe.
We got to talk about Calvillo against Rodriguez.
Yeah, we should talk about that. I was going to ask your stock question first to Mark before Marcus gets in here. Whose stock dropped the most? Who do you think?
I think definitely Alexander Hernandez, if he had already some stock. Fulta Walker as well, you know?
I was thinking those two guys, too. And I think Mullins, too. I mean, I think she was the biggest favorite in the card, wasn't she?
Yeah.
That's crazy. She
was a pretty big favorite, yeah.
She's a big favorite, dude, and she lost, and she got destroyed, you know? So, I know she's your girl, but I think Jermaine, too. I was disappointed by her performance, man. I really was.
It depends, you know. I think for us, yes, but I think for a lot of people, we're already on Norma Dumont, so I don't think many people, you know, but for me as well, pretty much. But she talked to my colleague after the fight immediately, and she was like, she was like, not my night.
By the way, is Dennis there in Vegas right now?
Like, yeah, he's there in Vegas.
300? Right, yeah.
So she's like, yeah, it wasn't my night. Didn't felt good what I did. And on to the next one. And Dennis asked her like, sorry, I have to ask you this, but you will keep going. And she's like, for sure, I'm not a quitter.
I figured she'd fight again. It was just, you know, we know that she had the kid and everything, but like, I thought with the 4 years off, she would have really shored up that takedown defense. And I thought that she'd be working on it. Dude, she was like, she couldn't even try to buck or shrimp or anything. It was crazy. Like, she just didn't do anything off her back. And Norma Dumont didn't even land a strike and she won the round. So, I mean, that shows you Jermaine did nothing either. You know what I mean? So, let's talk about this. Let's talk about Calvillo.
Yeah.
So, Calvillo and Pierre Rodriguez got canceled. Calvillo, I think it was 119 on the scale. I see Pierre got a fight book today. She's fighting that girl, Ariane Carlosi. By the way, was at this card and she was in Jean Matsumoto's corner.
Yeah.
And dude, she's jacked. she's jacked, bro. But I think that shows you the UFC is probably going to cut her, right? She's getting cut, right?
I wouldn't be surprised, man. I mean, she got the last chance pretty much, you know. And she
lost five straight fights and they gave her another shot and she blew it.
Yeah.
I mean, I just... Dude, I had high hopes for her when she came to the UFC. She had some really good wins. She fought Carla Esparza. It was pretty competitive. You know, she fought some really high-level girls. And, you know, she had some good wins in her career. She even headlined a card against Jessica High, which is also a bad main event. but, you know, it's just disappointing for her career kind of to end this way, you know?
Yeah,
I think she's going to get cut. Yeah, I agree, GDR. Yeah, GDR, I think, by the way, we picked her as a dog, but I think she ended up closing as the favorite, like a slight favorite. So a lot of money came in on her. Yeah, I agree with that too. But I just don't like watching that dude fight. Like, who would you give Budkin next? Like, I guess they have to give him another wrestler. They have to. Maybe Andre Petrosky. They could do that fight, maybe. You know, something like that. I don't know, Marcel. I just think that I thought Dana wanted guys like this out of the UFC. They're just going to hold you. I mean, because this guy's done nothing in two fights now.
I think Dana said, like, it was a bad fight against Chad Hanekom. He fought.
Why did he sign him then?
Yeah, he said like it was on short notice. Dude lift outside of his truck or something or whatever. It's like, yeah, we give him a shot if he drops down.
Yeah, and did he drop down though? I can't remember.
I don't know. This was a short notice for him, so I don't know. Actually,
that's true. Actually, you know what? It was short notice. Okay, I'll give him a little bit of a break, but the style is bad, bro. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about this really quick, Lynn, with Jones.
But don't you also think the style was like this because he didn't want to stand with the kickboxer, maybe?
Sure, but he's just not even advancing a position. I mean, yeah, I agree with what you're saying too. But yeah, anyways, the John Jones thing. Yeah, I mean, he's denying it. Obviously, he's denied everything his whole life. The guy's never taken responsibility in his entire life. You know what I mean? That's the truth. John Jones is the most talented MMA fighter of all time. That's also the truth. He is the best fighter I've ever seen. Most talented guy, most skilled guy. And his run, Marcel, when he beat like Shogun, Rampage, Machida, Belfort, Gus, like that whole run is the greatest run of all time. But for me, it's not even really about this. It's just that this guy hasn't fought in over a year. He doesn't have a fight book. And I think that, you know, you have a great champion right now, Tom Aspinall, who's like young. He wants to fight. He wants to stay active. I think the division needs to move on, dude. I would definitely like just promote Aspinall to undisputed champion. And you know, John comes back, he could fight Tom when he comes back if he ever fights again. I mean, the UFC's not going to cut this guy. Like, they're not. Because the thing is, if they cut him, he's going to go fight Francis and PFL. So it's not going to do it. We're going to say,
bro, the UFC is so done with the Jones Miocic fight. And nobody really wants to see that anymore. Maybe like if you ask 100% of the MMA fans, like, even the casuals maybe don't even care about it anymore. It's maybe 8% of the MMA fans want to see that. And that Dana's like, everybody wants to see this, right? Yeah, fucking 5 years ago. It's like, yeah, I don't understand. Listen, I'm not going to say anything on this with John Jones because I don't know the exact details. And it's not because I'm too much of a bitch to talk about, but I don't know the exact details. So I don't like to talk about it, you know. But if it comes to how the division should move on, I also think that Aspinall, in my opinion, Aspinall is the champ right now. You know, I don't understand why we have to keep Jones. Listen, if Jones comes back, give him me a title shot. You know,
I agree. I mean, I just think the Stipe fight, like, Stipe hasn't fought in 4 years. He's obviously a legend, but I just think I don't really care about the Stipe fight. To me, the super fight now is John Jones and Tom Aspinall. Right, that's a super fight, really. With Jones, I mean, like, again, you know, every time this guy's fucked up or did something or he's been in the law, he just said, oh, I didn't do it. You know what I mean? So I don't know, man, this one to me is a little more interesting, I think, than some of the other stuff, you know what I mean? Because you have this tester saying, you know, something, and then this video gets posted. That video didn't prove anything though. What does it prove? Nothing. You know what I mean? It doesn't prove anything, guys. Like, people are like, oh, look, she wasn't scared. She gave him a high five. Like, that doesn't prove anything. It really doesn't. I'm curious to see what that video was that he took, you know, cause apparently there's a video on the phone. And the police said, like, hey, you could upload this. Aaron Broadstair did a good job with this, by the way. He was getting in touch with, I think, the police there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. When I saw this story, I thought it was fake. I'm not going to lie, right? Like, oh, this is... Bro, I've been reading. I'm like, this is so poorly written. This is not real. Like, this is fake. And then Aaron talked to the cops. They're like, no, it's fucking real. Like, it was so weird.
I was the same thing. I was like, somebody is trying to stir up something again, you know? And
that's what I thought too, but it's just weird. And then they do it at 300. I will say this though, because if he was supposed to fight at 300 and then this comes out, does he fight?
Oh, God. Yeah. That would have been a complete shit show then. Yeah.
To me, this is actually the most interesting part of that was the drug sport guy, the boss. Did you read the story? Did you read it? Okay. So allegedly, it's all alleged, man. Remember that. Like, nothing's been proven. But allegedly, the woman, she, you know, was intimidated by Jones. She said he threatened her, and she reported it to her boss. And her boss said, let's just wait till you talk to the UFC. Don't say anything yet. And she's like, no, I want to report this. And he's like, well, you shouldn't do it. So they were trying to cover it up. I mean, based on what we read. So to me, that's actually the more interesting part about this, not Jones being a fucking asshole, because I think we kind of know he is, you know. Again, great fighter, but not the nicest guy. But the thing with the drug sport guy being like the boss covering it up, that thing to me very interesting. And they wouldn't give a statement to police either, that guy. So we'll see what happens. I mean, but I will say this, like, you know, people are like, oh, he took your phone. It's not a big deal. It actually kind of is. Like, you can't just take someone's phone. Like, you know what I mean? So again, is there proof though? I don't know if there's any proof, right? She'd need that other guy to kind of corroborate the story. But even then, there's not really proof. It's hearsay. That's the biggest problem with guys. It's like, unless there's hard evidence, then what's going to happen? So regardless of this, I still want the division to move on, though, regardless, because I just think it's time to move on. So I completely agree with Marcus. It's been a year. Move on. So the assault was the threat, he said, about allegedly, again, that, you know, people here, people that come here get shot or something. That's what he said to her. And if you're, that's your job is to like get drug tests, you probably get scared. You know what I mean? So, but again, it's all hearsay. I mean, there's no proof yet. You know what I mean? So again, the law, here's the thing. I'll say this to myself, the law, right. And the court of public opinion are, they're very different because you throw this on Twitter, everyone's got the pitchforks out, right? But the judge and the lawyers, they're probably gonna be like, well, there's no proof of this, guys. There's no proof. So if there was a video recorder, though, because apparently there is, maybe there's so something that corroborates what this woman said. But again, I'm with Glenn. Like, to me, when I was talking about the other day, I'm like, this is horrific. Like, the details were bad. And I was kind of referring to this more so than anything, because to me, like, if this guy is really trying to cover it up, like, and there's no reason for her to lie about that at all, that's fucking crazy, man. So, yeah. All right. Tom's a nice fellow. Doesn't want to come after Jones, but inducting fight. I saw that thing. What is it? Like, at, like some signing? And Tom was like, hey, can we do like a stare down? Jones is like, no, man, we're not doing that. You saw that, right? That video?
Yeah.
What's up, Pato? Azamat? I don't know. Didn't he break his hand against his last fight, Dustin Jacoby?
Against Jacoby, yeah, but some time ago. He was booked, but then he got, he didn't fight. So I don't know.
What's yeah. No, and I agree with this too. I mean, is it hard to believe a drug tester didn't want to further agitate any fair of allegations of domestic violence? And Jones also said that he'd been drinking or something, or he hung over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, he wasn't completely probably sober. But again, I don't want to say anything here that I can get in trouble with because there's no proof and we need more details. But again, regardless, I just want this division to move on, dude. I really do.
Yeah, we all want.
Yeah, it's because like you don't have the heavyweight belt being defended. That's ridiculous. That's fucking crazy. Antoine, I can't wait. Give us like 5 minutes. We'll break down UFC 300. I can't wait. No quizzes, no pops since UFC took control of testing.
I mean, two guys pumped.
Who did?
Walt Harris and Kusan Askabov.
That's true, actually. That was under the new drug-free sport they did?
Askabov, definitely. I don't know.
I mean, Walt Harris has tested positive before, hasn't he? I think.
Yeah.
Like, how long is his suspension? Like 4 years or something?
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Did he get cut? Is he still on the roster? Or
he's still on the roster, but how? I mean, but I don't think we see him fight anymore, you know? I think that the one... he'll probably be cut soon.
He got a long leash. I mean, he had some personal issues. His daughter murdered.
I still feel bad for the dude, you know?
I mean, how do you not? I mean, his daughter literally was murdered by some guy. So, you know, Dana, regardless of what you think of Dana, he does have a big heart. So you're going to keep the guy on the roster because he needs to make money, obviously. So, but yeah, I mean, you can't be tested positive for steroids.
What he said, Marcus?
Cody Gurdon said something about, like, I would never do this to, like, hurt my family or something. So some people were thinking he might have tested positive, too. Some people were suggesting that. Which would be too bad.
Actually, Cody is the kind of dude who has like he just speaks his mind, and many people think he's like a loudmouth, but he's a really cool guy, man. If you talk to him,
he seems like a cool dude. His wife is pretty good looking too, man.
Yeah, so true. Yeah,
he's a cool dude from what I've seen. All right, let's go to the next one here. We got PFL. Just really quick, PFL recap. Did you watch the card, by the way? Did you watch the card?
Parts, not all fights, but parts, all because right. I had to go to the doctor the day after early, so I didn't watch the last two because it was fucking heavyweight.
I hope you're feeling better, man. I was pretty sick last week.
Yeah, no problems.
I picked up like some virus last week. I was like fucking sick as hell on the weekend, guys. I'm much better today though, but man, I was in bed all weekend.
I'll tell you off the record what was up. With nothing bad.
Anyways, I watched the card and. You know, I saw Aaron Bronstein's tweet. Again, we bring up Aaron sometimes, and we all respect Aaron. He's a good friend of mine. I really love the guy. But, like, the reason people didn't watch this card is because it wasn't that good. I mean, that's the truth, you know? It wasn't that good of a card. And I did watch it because, like, I didn't have my daughter on Thursday. I wasn't doing anything else. I'm like, all right, I'll just watch the card and see how it goes. And it was a few good fights, but it was overall kind of shit. I mean, let me be honest.
He was more complaining about not a lot of tweets, but you got to see it like this, man. I mean... I watched it, but I didn't feel like tweeting about it. I was watching
it. I know what you're saying.
And it's like of the three regular season cards or the six, the heavyweight and the women are the least interesting all the time.
They got to change that up because they can't do these two.
Plus the fact that I like PFL, don't get me wrong. It's like, this is not just a random draw they do, you know?
That's bothering me too. And I was thinking about this, Marcel. We've been beating the horn about this, and I was thinking actually, Aaron's question. You know, he was like, "Why are you guys not covering PFL?" You know, for number one, because it doesn't really do good clicks. I mean, that's the truth. Mm-hmm. When I used to work for BJ Penn, they would they would show us our clicks. So I get to see who reads what. PFL was, bro, bottom of the barrel. I mean, I'm just being honest with you. Like, no one really cared about it. Like, maybe if they, like, when Francis Ngannou got signed, I'm sure that would do really well. But, like, overall, wasn't, like, it didn't really do much. Same with Bellator, but Bellator a little better. But PFL was, like, way at the bottom, you know? UFC is, like, good. You know what I mean? Like, that's why the big sites covered. I will say this. I think it's kind of fucked that the big sites were covering WWE, WrestleMania, and not this. Like, that bothers me because they're, especially MMA fighting. MMA fighting was covering, like, they spent a lot of resources covering wrestling. And I get it. It's going to do hits. MMA fighting is turning into a wrestling thing to me because, like, I don't watch your show, but every time people talk about it in Discord, it's like, oh, he's got, like wrestlers on it. Like, I don't care. You know what I mean? If I'm an MMA fan, like, I want to watch MMA fighters talk.
Yeah.
What I was going to say about PFL getting back to Marcel, I agree completely with you because ultimately the reason they don't watch it, man, is because the matchmaking is not that good. And that's the fucking truth. Regardless of what you think about Sean Shelby and Mick Maynard and Dana White, the UFC matchmaking is the fucking best in the world. It is the best in the world.
Almost never get a 100% score on a UFC card when you do predictions. Almost never, you know? And with a PFL, it's like 90% of the time, Chef, like a 95% score. You know what I mean?
Same with Bellator. And obviously, I don't know if like the matchmakers came over. I think Rich Chow's not with them anymore. I don't know about Mike Hogan. He might have come over.
Yeah, he came along.
He did. Yeah, but the thing is, like, we don't have any, we don't know like how they're doing this. Like, because we've talked about this. Like, what they should do is they should have like a live stream, right?
Yeah.
And they have like a wheel, right? They put the balls in and they spin it, right? And then they pull the ball and they're like, okay, Ante Delia, and then they do it again, and they got like Valentin Moldavsky, and they're like, okay, that's legit, but they're not doing it like that, bro.
Also, both matchups, not first one, because it's pretty. Listen, Dakota Dechiva, she's definitely talented. It's pretty obvious they gave her the Molden girl that she was going to mold. You know, it was like pretty obvious. The Tyler Santos. They gave her Denise Kielholz first, my countrywoman.
Yeah.
I didn't like Denise liked that matchup. I didn't like it for her. And then they gave her Ilara Joani. We know she was going to also destroy Ilara Joani. They have a certain way of booking fights that certain people want. It's like last year. Listen, man, with Shane Burgos, they booked him against Olivier Aubert-Marché. You know, he lost to Aubert-Marché. And I talked to Shane. I can say it here. I talked to Shane. I was like, for sure, they're going to give you the Japanese guy who fought Clay Collard. For sure.
Yep.
He's like, why? It's because he's the least. It's the most possible way for you to get points to proceed, you know? And he's like, do you really think that? It's like, yeah, legit think that. And 2 weeks later, he's like, I found the Japanese guy. Say, see?
No, I agree. I don't know, man. It was the matchmaking is just not that good. But anyways.
No, but listen, that is not good. It's no problem, you know? That can happen. But that they already pre-thinking about what they're going to do with the matchup, that's
like,
not good.
Because, you know, like, they're trying to give them – you know they were trying to get Dakota and Tyler to the next round.
Yeah,
pretty,
for sure.
Pretty obvious. Let's just quickly go to the card. I thought Moldavsky looked good. I mean, there's no doubt. He looked really good. I think he – you think he's the favorite to win the heavyweight? You would – right?
Yeah, I said Delia, but yeah, Moldavsky could go with him. Yeah.
Delia kind of, I don't know what happened. I think he got injured or something. I don't know what happened. That was weird. It was kind of weird. Goltsov, I mean, that fight was horrible, dude. Linton Vassell gassed so bad. Unbelievable, eh? Like, he just really gassed. Goltsov's okay, but I think he's going to get exposed. The Carmouche Velasquez fight was fucking dreadful to watch.
Why did they make that for the third time?
Bro, I was just going to ask, why the fuck did they book this fight again? Like, I saw our best fight picks. He had some funny tweets. He said, like, to Aaron's response, responding to Aaron, he was just like, because, like, why aren't people tweeting about PFL? It's like, because we don't want to watch this Carmouche and Julianna Velasquez fight, like, for the eighth time. Because actually, Marcel, you know what the crazy thing is? There's still a chance they could end up fighting in the semifinals. It's possible. There's injuries and stuff. You never know. Yeah. Dakota Dechiva obviously looked amazing. But again, girl she fought is not good, you know.
She is PFL tried to make her a star, you know, and she, I know she looks, many people think she looks great, you know, and she has an undefeated record. I understand she's marketable,
very,
but I don't like when they try. Listen, man, we are not in the B leagues, you know. You want to be an A league, then you have to fight a competition, you know what I mean.
Well, Don Davis is going on Ariel, so probably next week and just talk about how they're better than this card, show that they're better than the UFC or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
They keep saying that we're just the UFC number one, but we're a strong number two. It's like, no, you guys aren't. Like, and I watched every fucking event by PFL. I'm just being honest, you know.
But what's with Don Davis with the retweeting those brackets with only one PFL guy?
I saw that too. That's weird. Dale James was an underdog again against Marcelo Gomes. Very weird, right?
Yeah, we picked them both, right?
Yeah, we did. That was a consensus dog. Blagoy Ivanov, he looked good, by the way, Daniel James. Blagoy Ivanov,
picked Blagoy,
he lost. You picked Sergey? I can't remember.
Yeah.
That was a good fight, though, right? I think that was the best fight in the card.
Blagoy started very well, man. He started very well.
Blagoy's chain is, like, probably one of the best in MMA right now. I mean, him and Max Holloway, especially at heavyweight, he's never been... I was looking at his record. He fought Ty, Derek Lewis. I mean, this guy was blasting with punches. He just kept walking forward. Zombie.
Dude is fucking tough, man. He got shot in the chest.
He got stabbed.
Yeah, he got stabbed. And he survived.
I'm pretty sure if you get shot in the chest, you're gonna die. But I mean, if you get stabbed too, you're gonna fucking die. He's got a hole right here in his chest.
Yeah,
he's just a tough guy. Tyler Santos obviously looked amazing. She should have been on the main card. I mean, that's a joke that she was buried on the prelims here.
Sure.
The pop-off guy looked okay, I guess. Watching that fight was horrible. Bishop looked really good. Bishop's kind of a dark horse to me in this tournament.
Bishop is a fun fight. She's a little bit older, right? But she's a fun fight.
Yeah. I think the UFC should have picked her up. I think they made a mistake. I do. Dimitri Ivey, Anthony Ivey's brother, former UFC fighter, he picked him a big upset here. He was plus 850 against Lucas Brennan. He got fraud checked, right?
Bro, I always say to my co-host Santiago in the Bellator Zone podcast, he's really high on Lucas Brennan. I was like, dude, this guy, he only fights guys where he's a plus 800 favorite against, you know? And that's the thing what I don't like with Bellator. I didn't like what Bellator did. And now he was again a big favorite. I think his last
minus
fight.
1600.
Yeah, and his last fight against Weber Almeida, I think he was losing. But that, exactly. So, I mean, there you go.
He's not that good, honestly. I know his dad was a longtime fighter, but his dad is different than him. And then Bryce Meredith, he was also minus 1600. Although that fight was competitive too. Anyways, it wasn't the greatest card. I just wanted to talk about it really quickly, though.
In my opinion, if you have a fight, you know, and it's not a title fight, I mean with a title fight when you have a longtime champion and you get a challenger with barely any chance that champion is like minus 1200. It happens sometimes, you know.
Yeah.
That's possible. But if it's not for a championship fight or it's another ranked fight or whatever, it can never be that somebody is like an over minus 500 favorite, in my opinion.
Yeah,
you know, you almost will never see that in the UFC. You see by Nikola Brundage probably, but you almost never see that.
You see in a short notice, like Umar fought that ice cat guy, like something like
but
that.
But then it's okay. If it's short notice, I have no problem with it, but not, it's like 6 or 8 weeks in front. You know what I mean?
I know. I mean, the Bo Nickel fight's kind of like an outlier, I would guess, with that. Like, UFC, they like tight matchmaking, dude, because here's the thing, and I was thinking about this too with the UFC, like, they really are looking for the best fighter in the world. They don't really care, like, how... you know, let's build this guy up. I don't think they care anymore. They're just looking like sink or swim. We've talked about this before, like sink or swim.
I mean, we all like tight stuff, so
sure. Yeah. I was going to say speak for yourself, but no, I completely agree with you. Delia looked terrible. What are you talking about? I think Blake was joking. As an MMA fan, I don't get excited with PFL. Frog is a good Strikeforce last UFC competitor. Strikeforce was amazing. I mean, I really think you liked Strikeforce, right, back in the day?
Oh, yeah, it was fun to watch, you know. It was like, and I remember that Dana said after one card when Strikeforce had almost finished, you never see that in the UFC. B-leagues. And then at a certain moment, he buys Strikeforce, and he has a Strikeforce shirt on with the Paul Daly against Nick Diaz, and everybody was booing him when he came.
Like, half the guys that came over from Strikeforce ended up becoming UFC champions. I mean, if the UFC never bought Strikeforce, the whole scope of MMA history would have changed. You know what I mean? It's crazy. Is this fight official in Imavov Canadier? No.
It's in the works as far as I know.
Cool. UFC would swap 10 great chance for one more corner. Maybe. All right, let's end up this podcast right here, guys. We're going to get ready to go for the UFC 300 preview. I can't wait for this, Marcel. I'm really looking forward to this card, UFC 300. But again, we like to recap the card. So anything else you want to say? Is there anything else you want to get off your chest right now? Or
yeah, I think I talk enough.
So I think you do too. I don't want to hear you talking more. Shut up. I'm just joking.
Okay, bye.
No, okay, guys, give me a minute here. I'm gonna tweet it out. Just stay on the line. I'll tweet out in about a minute, and we'll do the UFC 300 preview. I can't wait. All right, thanks, guys.